order to recite a Zimun with 10 people and Hashem's name, you need to have a visible majority of 7 people eating bread, and the other 3 can eat anything. So that everyone talks about that, everyone agrees to that. What they have to eat is really what we discussed last time. What we didn't discuss is what happens all too much more frequently, is that you don't have 10 people. You have less than 10. You have 3, at the very least, people. And when you have 3 people at a table, YU calf tables are usually 4, unless you pull up extra seats. Even Shai Rachamim, you know, these
Rabbi,
days...
You keep breaking up, Rabbi.
Really? So let me see.
Yeah, you went silent for a little bit, then you said calf tables, and then you went silent for a little bit, and then you said Shai Rachamim.
Interesting. How about now? Am I breaking up now at all? Am I at all? No. Okay. So let's continue with this, and if it gets messed up, so then we'll switch to my phone. Bezat Hashem. Okay. Shalom, Rabbi Matt. Good to see you. Welcome aboard. So we were discussing how for a zimun of 10 people, 7 people need to eat bread because that's majority plus 1. Majority plus 1 is a visible majority, and that, Shulchan Aruch, everybody agrees, 7 people eat bread, 3 people can eat anything else in order to join a Zimun. Well, we're going to discuss, and then last week we discussed, what do those people have to eat if they're not eating bread? This week, we're going to discuss, what if you only have 3? What if you only have 3 people who didn't eat, who are eating together? 2 of them ate bread. What's the deal with the third guy? Do you say that the third guy doesn't have to eat bread? And he can eat anything else? When you have a Zimun of 10? Or no, a Rov Nikar was 7 out of 10. So here you only have 6.66%. 2 out of 3. 6. So that's not so good. What's the halacha in this case? Since it's not explicit in the Gemara, what does that mean? It's a machloket rishonim, as always. So in order to understand what halacha l'maaseh is, we have to explore what are the different opinions of the machloket rishonim. Since Baruch Hashem, we got a lot of budding talmidei chachamim here. I know I asked this question last time, but just to review, what do you think the halacha is? What do you have to eat in order to join a zimun of 3? If you're number 3, and the other 2 ate bread. Last week, we had 4 opinions, right? I think, Matt, you were about to say something? No? Okay. Last week, we had 4 opinions. Someone said bread. Someone said pat habab kisanin. Another person said anything. I think there was even a 4th one. So it happens to be all of those are different opinions. When it comes to zimun of 10, b'chavod, the 3 guys can eat anything. Even salad works. Even a little bit of salad, a kazayit minus a little bit of salad, plus a little bit of dressing. That also counts. But when it comes to a zimun of 3, the Gemara never says it, and in fact the Rif says, the Gemara never said it, it doesn't work. You need to have 3 people for a zimun of 3 to count. 3 people to eat bread in order to count for a zimun of 3. That said, Tosfot, the Rosh, Rabbeinu Yonah, the Tur, they all disagree with this Rif. And Rabbeinu Yonah explains, what's a rov nikar, a visible majority? I forgot what Ariel is majoring in. And I forgot what everyone's majoring in. Kobe's becoming an accountant, right? Yeah? Actuary? Okay, fine. So what percentage is a majority?
51.
Okay, so 7 out of 10 is how pretty far away from 51. Is 7 out of 10 the bare minimum to call a visible majority, or is there a lower number? In this case, 2 out of 3. 66%. It's much higher than 51, and that seems to be the machloket here. The Rif says, the Gemara said 70%, 7 out of 10, is a visible majority. Whereas the other Rishonim say 2 out of 3 is also fine. 2 out of 3 is also fine, and that's what they hold like, and therefore they say the third guy can eat anything. And they think that's the pshat in the Gemara as well. Now, this is a massive machloket Rishonim. The Rambam and the Rashba agree with the Rif. And Maran, the Beit Yosef, explicitly says, the halacha is like the Rif, that for a Zeman of three, you cannot count anybody who didn't eat bread. But there's tons of Rishonim, especially Baalei HaTosfot, who hold like the Rif, hold like the Baalei HaTosfot. That's fine. Because they say, listen, you have two out of three anyway, and that's a majority. You're definitely okay. And on the flip side, the Aruch HaShulchan explains, why would you disagree here? So what? The Gemara never said anything. That you should be able to apply the same idea. But why can't you be just as lenient here as you were by a Zimun of 10? So the Aruch HaShulchan explains that when you have a Zimun of 10 people, you already have an Ikar Zimun. You already have a base of three people. They are going to make a Zimun anyway. The question is, can you just add on Hashem's name? To add on Hashem's name, you got 10 people there. Even if not all 10 of them ate bread, it's okay. But to make a Zimun in the first place? We don't let you make Zimuns for nothing. You only have two people who ate bread. And one person needs something else. You don't have a basic Zimun yet. You don't even have a foundation yet. So Aryeh works for Red Sky, for Blue Sky, right? You need to build the foundation before you put the house up. If you don't have a Zimun to build 10 people on top of, then you can't say a Zimun here, even if two of them ate bread. Now, this becomes a very interesting discussion, because the Maharam Rutenberg was one of the Chassidei Ashkenaz. He was part of a group of late Baalei HaTosfot, people who lived in Ashkenaz, who were very into being yotze, fulfilling every opinion. And what he would do when he was sitting with somebody else and eating a meal, and a third guy would show up, what the Maharam would do is say, listen, if you sit down and don't eat bread, we're going to enter a machloket Rishonim now. Because me and my friend here ate bread, and you want to eat something else. According to Tosvot, we're chayav in a zimun. And according to the Rif, we can't make a Zimun. So I want to stay out of this. I want to fulfill all opinions. What am I going to tell you to do? Listen, I'm the Gadol Ador. Not me, the Maharam. Maharam said, listen, I'm the Gadol Ador. Do me a favor. Here's a piece of bread. Wash. So we can make a Zimun. Yidikazayit, so we can make a Zimun. And the way this is quoted in the Hagot Maimoniot, the student of the Maharam, the way it's quoted in the Hagot Maimoniot, is that if Bidi Eved, if the guy didn't listen to the Maharam would still make the Zimun. Because he would say, listen, I'm chayav to recite a Zimun, according to Tosfot, I'm still going to say it. The Beit Yosef expresses approval of this methodology. And in Shulchan Aruch, therefore, he presents a number of different opinions. In Siman Kuf Sadi Zayin, Sif Gimel, he says, first of all, the best thing to do when a third guy sits down at your table in the cafeteria, a third guy sits down at your table in Shari Rachamim, and he sits down with, a salad or an apple, an orange, whatever, at breakfast, and you and one friend are having a bagel, is you tell him, listen, who's very good at being healthy? Moshe Kohanim, give in. Grab a bagel, take off a slice that's a gazayit, and wash your hands so that we can make a zimun. That's what you're supposed to do. But if he doesn't listen, now what? He says, I just can't do bread right now. Diet's not letting me today. Right? I can't do bread right now. So what do you tell him to do? So, okay, fine. Take some oatmeal. Even a kazayit of dagan, of anything that's made of the five grains, but isn't actually bread, also counts. A third opinion is, give him anything. Bidi Eved, if he sat down with you, he ate anything but bread, still make the Zimun with him for three people, even according to Shulchan Aruch.
What about a cup of coffee, Rabbi? No food, just a shot.
So that's coffee. That was last week's question, if you count coffee or not.
You're not even, it's nothing.
Maybe. You're saying, well, earlier we said you have to have a kazayit of bread. A kazayit of salad, a kazayit of anything in order to count. Right? So here, right, you're not even having a ravid of coffee necessarily. So first of all, if it's Noah's iced coffee, you do say bracha achrona on that. So, but now it's the winter, so Noah's probably not making iced coffee anymore. Right? So I'm not sure. What do you do about coffee? Everyone talked about coffee. I don't think they brought up this issue of a bracha achrona on coffee. Or a bracha achrona on tea.
What if they have something that does machloket or like ice cream with something in it or yogurt with something
right.
in it?
Right.
Seems like a very watery yogurt.
Oh, yogurt? Yogurt is very watery, you're saying, because you don't have a ravit in one shot, you're
yeah.
saying?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I never thought to apply that to yogurt, to tell you the truth. But.
Rabbi Abbas talks about it.
Really? I've never heard him say that before.
He chews it. He's like, I chew yogurt, so I do say bracha achrona, but
whatever. I don't think it's connected to making bracha achrona, though. The way
that's
that. You have a very good point that never occurred to me before. Maybe it should depend on a beracha achrona, but I think that it's not really called achila until you have a kazayit for these purposes. A suda until you have a kazayit.
Right. I really want to talk about if a person mechalal Shabbat, whether you can allow him to even say the guy has a whole pie of pizza to himself, but he's mechalal Shabbat.
I think Rabbi Livian pointed it out already. Matarim lachem. Shulchan Aruch says you can't count a mechalal Shabbat for hesia. For a Zimun. But we would apply the same thing we always apply, the Binyan Sion. That person goes to Shul on Shabbat, he says Kiddush, or during coronavirus, he doesn't go to Shul on Shabbat, he still says Kiddush. You know, he davens a little bit here and there. He believes in Hashem. His Chilul Shabbat does not come from a heretical point of view. It comes from a lack of education point of view.
Tinok
Shenishba. Okay, I didn't want to say that word because it's already, you know, Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says it falls once you say Tinoch Shenishba. He thinks Tinoch Shenishba Bein Agoyim means that the guy doesn't know anything about Judaism.
Oh,
but once he knows that there's a thing called Judaism, it's his fault if he doesn't find out about it.
So that's
what Tinoch Shenishba means. So, you could say Tinoch Shenishba, but I'd rather just say that his Chilul Shabbat is not as damaging as it is in the Gemara's time.
Doesn't know better.
Right. That's the Pashtut. But let's say he's an upstanding Jew. He's totally 100% with it. That's not the problem. So we would rather... Halacha l'maaseh, what it comes down to is that we would rather... Oh, we have a guest. Come. You won't make a Zimun, Daniel Jim, but if you want to sit with us, you still can. That's my bottle of water. Yeah. Oh, okay, but not right now. Okay.
No, yes.
You want to come sit with me here?
Yeah.
So come around.
Yeah.
Okay, sit there. Okay. Anyway, so some people see this as a little bit of a steer on Shulchan Aruch. How can you subscribe to both the Rif and the Rambam is saying that there's no such thing as a zimun of three without three people eating bread, but. He's being machmir both ways. He's trying to acknowledge everybody and saying that b'di'evid, you can rely on the Tosfot and make a Zimun. You can rely on the Tosfot and make a Zimun. But really, for Svaradim, everybody agrees. The Ikar for Svaradim is that we try our best to encourage him to eat bread. Eat bread. And Rav Moshe Halevi says, if the guy doesn't want to have bread, Pat haba'ah kisanin is also lechatzchila. You have enough crackers and cookies. Baruch Hashem, there are cookies in Shari Rachamim. Some days. So if he has crackers and cookies, he definitely would count also lechatzchila. You don't have to worry about it. Because really, pat haba'ah kisanin is really pat. It's just that it's lost its chashivut to warrant a birkat hamazon. If you eat enough of it, then you can revive its chashivut. But without that, either way, it's still pat. So now, I don't want to teach you the guys this lesson, but I'm going to demonstrate something for you to just help you be more open minded. Daniel Jun, can you clean up later, please? I know it's very hard for me to say this right now, but can you clean up later, please? Okay. So anyway. That is all I told you thus far. It seems to be open and shut. Rabbi Goft.
What
that you are not supposed to count a third person for a zimun unless he eats bread. Open and shut. Grab a Shulchan Aruch off the shelf. It's black and yellow, as the pages are yellow. It's literally, that's exactly as it says. There's nothing to talk about. You know who makes a fuss about this? You know who makes this all complicated and says it doesn't apply anymore? Chacham Ovadia. Chacham Ovadia has a line in a footnote in Yechavedah where he claims that this whole machloket, the entire thing about what you have to eat in order to count for number three of a zimun, does not apply nowadays. It only applies when, back in the day, one person made the zimun and he said Birkat HaMazon on behalf of everybody. Nowadays, we're all major space outs, as we've said many times. We can't focus for that long. So we have the mizamen say Nivarech and Baruch Shachanu, and then we all recite say Baruch Shachanu, and we say Zimun ourselves quietly. In that case, he's not being motzias. And then, therefore, a lot of the halachot of Zimun no longer apply. As we'll see, Bezah Hashem, he doesn't necessarily have to eat enough to be Chayav in HaTorah, Mirkat HaMazon. We'll discuss that, Bezah Hashem, when we get there. So Chacham Avadia says, even though it doesn't say it in Shulchan Aruch, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't mean it applies nowadays. Because back then they were only machmir that it shouldn't be a situation where there are two people who are making a zimun when they don't have to. But today anyway, you're not really saying a zimun because you're not being motzi somebody in Birkat HaMazon. You're only being motzi him in the zimun itself. That view of Rav Ovadia is the Mechilat Kavod Torato, is utterly, utterly not the Pshat in Shulchan Aruch. It's not the Pshat in Shulchan Aruch. It is so far from the Pshat in Shulchan Aruch, it literally is incorrect. And I'm not the one who said it first. Rav Moshe Halevi said it first. And he has a whole thing in Birkat Hashem where he says, excuse me, look in Siman Kuf Pei Gimel, 15, 14 Simanim earlier than this, where Shulchan Aruch explicitly tells you a situation where nowadays it's different. How come he didn't do it here too? And even in the Beit Yosef over here, he doesn't make any distinction. And the Maharam Rutenberg also wasn't making any distinctions. He didn't live so long ago, 600 years. But already at his time, they were probably making a zimun separately. Maybe not. But still, for sure, the Shulchan Aruch should have mentioned something. How can you make such a distinction based on nothing? And therefore, he argues on Rav Ovadia and says, it definitely still applies nowadays. So now you're like, okay, if I was sitting in front of you, you would have called Noah and had me removed forcibly from the premises. You would have probably called the police or even egged my car or something after saying all the things that I just said. But you should know that Rav David Yosef says it too. In Halacha Berura, Rav David Yosef, in a very, very nice way, Chas v'Shalom, it's Asur Min HaTorah for a son to argue with his father in a disrespectful way. In a very nice way, Rav David Yosef brings all the sources in a footnote in Halacha Berura. He quotes the Birkat Hashem and all the places where Rav Ovadia says this. And without explicitly saying, Delo kimo shekatuv katav abba sheli, he just paskins the other way. In a very nice way. And I thought, wow, that's Emet! That's Emet, a Tami Chacham who is not drawn by personal interest in listening to his father, and Torah Lamito, he's trying to figure out what the Pshat is the Halacha. Beautiful, right? I thought so too, but then I had a Raya for Rav Ovadia. I thought I could prove Rav Ovadia's right. Or at the very least, I can try. In this Siman, Kuf Tzadi Zayin, there is a Halacha that follows this one, about what level you have to be on to be chayav in zimun. If let's say you're going to be yotze somebody, motzi somebody in a zimun, and you only had a kazayit of bread, The other guy, he had a whole pie of pizza with soda. He's chayav min haTorah in birkat hamazon. You only midrabanan. You only had a kazayit. Is it possible for somebody who's only chayav on the level of dirabanan to be motzi somebody who's chayav on the level of deoraita? This is a massive debate. We're not going to get into it right now. But in this debate, there's a line in the Beit Yosef where he says that nowadays it no longer applies. It no longer matters who is the mizamen, whether he is going to be one who ate everything and therefore is chayav min haTorah, or somebody who...
Read it.
I should open it for you?
Yeah.
And then what should I do?
Not read it. They read it.
Maybe you could ask Imogen to open it for you?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Go the other way, please.
No, open it.
I'm not going to do it right now, okay?
Me.
You can, I don't think you should do it either. It's not a good idea to open a bottle of seltzer. Okay. Okay, I'm going to hold it for now, and when I'm done, okay?
Bye.
So now, the Rav Moshe, so I thought, if you look over there in the Beit Yosef, if you look in the Beit Yosef over there, he has to go to sleep, man. It's bedtime. But if you look in the Beit Yosef over there,
he tells you,
"Oh, you did it! Oh no! Okay." So,
me dad did.
Should I drink some?
Yeah.
Okay. Baruch Ata Adonai, Lehina Melech Haolam, Shehakol Mihyav Yivarech. Okay. Thank you very much. Okay. Now, anyway, in that line, Beit Yosef, he does make the distinction, and he says that, you know what, this doesn't apply nowadays. Because nowadays, we don't recite Zimun to be motzi everybody in Merkat HaMazon. And in Shulchan Aruch, he still says the same halacha. In Shulchan Aruch, I know it's very hard to hear that everyone argued with Rav Avadia, but I found a raya that he's right. Nobody else did. It's my zechut and also unfortunate. Then I had to come and be the one to do it. But in Shulchan Aruch, he still writes the halacha that no longer applies. Even though in Beit Yosef, he says it no longer applies. So you see, it's not a perfect raya for Rav Avadia at all. It's not perfect. But you see, there can be cases in Shulchan Aruch where there are halachot presented in Hilchot Zimun about Zimun that no longer apply because nowadays we don't say Birkat HaMazon on behalf of everybody anymore. And I think La'anyut Da'ati, it's not enough to turn the tables. Halacha Berurah still overturned Rav Avadia, and so did Birkat Hashem. Therefore, the Chatchila, whenever somebody sits down with you, you really should encourage him. If he's going to be number three, to have some bread. Especially also because Rav Moshe Alevi, I told you the Maharam Rutenberg, Chassidei Ashkenaz, wanted to be Yotzei all opinions, right? But he said, B'di'evet, if someone sat down with me, I would give him. I would still make the Zimun. Rav Moshe Alevi found a different version of the Maharam. The Maharam Rutenberg lived in the 1300s. He was killed al Kiddush Hashem. He was taken captive and held ransom until he died in an Eisenstein tower by the Goyim, Hashem Yikom Damav, and his body was held on money ransom until they ransomed it. Eventually, they ransomed him. So anyway, they gave in eventually. So he had a number of students. And a number of students who were major players in halacha. The Hagot Maimoniot wrote a commentary on the Rambam. The Rosh wrote a commentary on the Rif. There's the Mordechai is also a commentary on the Rif. And then there is also a lesser known sefer called the Tashbetz. There's a big Tashbetz. He was a student of the Ran. He's not the one we're talking about. He was a Sfaradi. Major big time Sfaradi. There's another Tashbetz who wrote one little sefer. And we call it the Tashbetz Katan. The little Tashbetz. And he tells you what he saw when he was hanging around his Rebbe, the Maharam. All of these four Talmidim, the Mordechai, the Hagot Maimoniot, the Rosh, and the Tashbetz Katan, are good ways to check what the Maharam says. Because whatever these four say, the confluence of what they say will give you a good idea of what exactly happened. Because as is the case with the Baal HaTosfot and their descendants, there were a number of big names, the Ri, Rabbeinu Tam, who said a lot of stuff, and there's the Sarmikutzi and many others who said a lot of stuff, and their Talmidim reorganized the information, reprocess the information to make it more easy to use, or when it was printed, it ended up getting cut up a lot. And therefore, mistakes crept in. And therefore, you have to go back to the originals sometimes in order to discover what the accurate presentation is. In this case, the Hagot Maimoniot presents the Maharam as saying, Bidi Eved, that three people sat down, the third one didn't eat bread, we would make a Zimun. Because you still have the Tosfot to rely on. Even though it's against the Rif. Rav Moshe Halevi did a little bit of research. In Birkat Hashem, he tells in the footnote that he discovered that in the Tashbetz Katan, the way the story is presented with the Maharam is that if a third person sat down and ate anything but bread, he would not recite a Zimun, even Bidiavad, he would not recite the Zimun, as it's against the Rif, and we try to fulfill all opinions. And until all opinions give us the go, the green light, then we're not making a Zimun. This was not the version of the Maharam that was recorded in the Beit Yosef or in the Shulchan Aruch. It's against what we say to do nowadays. And if the Maharam, in reality, factually, didn't do that, then what we're all doing is a farce for Sfaradim. But Rav Moshe Levi says, okay, so what can you do? And either way, you'd be relying on the Tosfot to do this. And we would be relying on the Tosfot. So he says he submits to the way halacha happened. He submits to the way halacha happened historically, maybe there's a source or two that's against this. This is a big machloket in general, you should know, between Chacham Avadi and the Chazon Ish. Chacham Avadi was a big fan of uncovering all these old manuscripts of Rishonim and Acharonim and using them to overturn halacha. The Mishnah Berurah also does this all the time. The Me'iri wasn't known for many centuries. So many poskim didn't have the Me'iri. Many poskim didn't have all sorts of svarim. So when you come out in 1900s and the 2000s and you find all these svarim that the Gedolim didn't have 300 years ago, and you're like, oh, well, look at this version, look at that version, look at this one said, maybe we should change the halacha. Chacham Avadi says, yeah. And the Chazon Ish says, no. It's all hashkacha from Shamayim. Hashem made it this way that we shouldn't have that guy set first, so we should paskin the halacha the way we did. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, and that's what we're going to do. This is a big machloket. So Rav Moshe Levi says he's not going to change the halacha over this. But he says, all that in mind, you should really try your best. Fulfill every opinion when it comes to Zimun with three people, and make sure that you have a third guy eat bread. Now, how much does he have to eat? A kazayit. As always, he has to eat a kazayit. And what happens, now moving on from that, what happens, Chas v'Shalom, but your Ashkenazi friends made a Zimun in their yeshiva of three people, two people ate bread, and the third person ate, a salad or something else. And he listened to the Birkat HaMazon, Bidiavad, is he Yotze? He answered the Zimun, does he have to recite Bracha Achron anymore? Birkat HaMazon covers all foods. So he still has to recite Bracha Achrona. So it happens to be it's a big machloket. It depends. If he didn't have any kavana, so he should definitely recite Bracha Achrona again. If he did have kavana, so then b'tiyeved, then we would tell him you might be yotze, and therefore we would say you should not recite a Bracha Achrona. B'tiyeved safik brachol hakel. If you had kavana, you should not. You should not recite a bracha achrona at that point. You shouldn't have had kavana in the first place. But okay, fine. The question is, these guys who ate other things, do they have to stay for the zimun or not? The best thing is that they should stay. Maybe it's a reshut, maybe it's a chiyuv, or maybe it follows the regular rules. You start together, you finish together or not. That's really what it comes down to. And just to finish off, this siman in Shulchan Aruch, about how to join with eating, it should be clear. Let's say you Friday night you ate, you're at your in-laws' house, your parents' house for Shabbat, and you ate like nonstop because there was just so much food. It happens to me every Rosh Hashanah. I'm at my in-laws' house. I learned, but then I keep forgetting every year. You just can't eat that much food. It's four meals straight. It's not a good idea. But whatever, sometimes I remember, sometimes I don't. Let's say when Shani Rak Kitiknan, and you can go around visiting people on Friday night, or Shabbat afternoon, after your meal, you ate a huge meal, and then you went over to your friend's house, your parents, their in-laws, whatever, some other relative's house for Shabbat, just to have dessert. You show up there, and go to a meal, Shabbat Rachot or something, Shabbat Arasi, and you join the party. So you're literally stuffed. But then, of course, the mother of the home comes and says, Yechizi Bokhor! Nemizarim, as in Job, Yeribirun, Yechizi Bokhori, Temadarit Migama! That type of stuff happens, and then you're like, nah, 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 tarof nis, nemitunam, vohan, vohan, cheli siram, nemitunam. And like, it goes on and on and on, until they literally sit you down, you know, with the plate in front of you with everything on it, and they literally like force you to eat something. Eteramun, all sorts of things, right? So, it's achila gasa. And then after you're done eating, and you're like literally, gonna throw up at the table, and then you look up and you're like half dead, and then they say, like, they start counting, and they're like, oh, you're number 10! You're number 10! Perfect! You'll make the Zimun, you ate! We all have room to eat more, great! Can you make a Zimun or not? Halakha l'masa, everybody says, Achila Gasa is not called Achila. If you eat too much, it's not called eating. And therefore, you should not recite a Zimun at that point. You should not... if you're not enjoying the food at that point, if you're not able to taste it, and it's just like so disgusting to you, then you shouldn't really be counted towards that Zimun. Now, what happens if you didn't eat too much? When it comes to Birkat HaMazon, in order to be chayav in Birkat HaMazon, it's machloket Tanaim, it's machloket Rishonim, machloket Shulchan Aruch and Rama, how much you have to eat in order to be chayav in Birkat HaMazon. Why does it matter? First of all, for Safek, if you're not sure if you recited Birkat HaMazon, do you have to go back or not? And second of all, in order to be motzi others, in a time when you would be reciting Birkat HaMazon in full on behalf of other people, you have to keep in mind, I can't be motzi somebody, according to some Rishonim, such as the Bahag, who's not on my level. So you have to know what level are you on. Lemaaseh, we assume that a kazayit is only midrabanan. Sfaradim assume that a kabeitza is deoraita. And Ashkenazim say, based on Mordechai, that really it's kabeitza with a drink. And of course, if a person is full, that could also be deoraita. And this launches all the Rishonim, all the postgame, into a major debate of who should recite the Zimun. What if a person is full from a kazayit? What if one person ate a kavetza and the other person, you know, is totally full? Or one person ate a ton and he also drank and the other one didn't drink? Lema'a said, this doesn't really matter anymore, says the Beit Yosef, because we're not motzi other people with our Birkat HaMazon. But it's a good chumrah to have. That if you're sitting at the table, and you only had two slices of pizza, and your friend only had two slices of pizza, and Mr. Number 3 had two slices of pizza and a Coke, because he wasn't as big of a chassis as you and your friend, he had decided to splurge and get a Coke, so then he should be the one to recite the Zimun. Because he, according to more opinions, is Chayav in HaTorah. If you're still thirsty, can you lead or bench at all? Meaning, because you want to drink after you eat. After you bench. What do you mean?
Let's say they ask you to lead the Zimun.
Right.
And you're really thirsty. And everyone's impatient. Can you bench if you're thirsty?
Yeah, you can always bench if you're thirsty. But you should tell them, you know what? Let me get myself to a higher level. A higher spiritual level. By drinking a little bit more. And then make the Zimun. What's your chayv deoraita? If they're impatient, they're impatient. What can you do? It's a chumra tova. It should not be a priority. It's not a priority. It's a good chumra to have. If you can, drink a little bit more. You want another good chumra? It's a machloket if hamotzi will cover a cup of water at the table. So the best thing to do is, before you have a meal with hamotzi, drink less than a revit of water with a berachav shakol. It's good chumras to have, but they shouldn't change
Why listen to Revit? Who cares how much you drink?
If you drink a Revit, you drink a Revit, you might be chayv in a Barin Fashot. In which case, it's you create issues of Beracha, Shina, Sricha, etc.
Let's say you drink the Revit and you're not done drinking. You want to say the Beracha Korona regardless. So now you want to continue eating.
Right. But I'm talking about before the meal. You're talking about in the meal?
I'm talking about before the meal also. I do drink shakos. Right. So I can say more brachot this way.
Right, so you shouldn't drink a revit. The same reason why you don't have karpas. You don't have a kazayah of karpas at the table on the Seder. Even if you want to get me'ah brachot, we tell you you shouldn't. And there's different minhagim on this. You should know. But the poskim argue back with some of these minhagim that even if you want to have, you know, a whole spread of nuts and cakes and whatever before between Kiddush and Hamotzi on Friday night. Some people, Moroccans, do it every week. Rabbi Yitzchak Yosef says it's a good idea to do it in order to get me'ah berachot. And you should make sure that you don't have a kazayit.
Rabbi Yitzchak Yosef says to eat adama and etz between...
He says so. He says you should do it before the meal so that you get a few more berachot before you say hamotzi, but make sure that you don't have a kazayit of anything. I'm pretty sure that's what it says. I'm pretty sure. I'll tell you a funny story. I was in Razin Synagogue. And there's an Araya Neiman, is Baruch Hashem, a serious, serious attendee of that minyan, Araya Neiman. He's Yoni Ravanipur's grandfather, if you know, Yoni Ravanipur. And he comes over to me, he said, Ma to Iran, Shabbat Shabbat, Bad as Kiddush, Hamisha, Ye Lokhme in Michordim, Yekam Peste, Yekam in, Yekam un, Ke Sata Beracha Begirim Dige. الان میرم خونه دخترم تو گرتنک میگم نبای گفت که این کار نکنید.
So
he would have more than a kazayit in Iran, apparently. So I told him, yeah, you can have less than a kazayit, it's okay. Nah, rabbi goft. I'm like, okay, bevachshit. I mea berachot. Is in Siman Mem Gimel in Orachaim.
I think it's Mem Vav Sif Gimel.
Yeah, Mem Vav Sif Gimel. I forgot the Vav. Thank you. Mem Vav Sif Gimel. That's one place. And also in Hilchot Sudan Shabbat, I think Reish Pei Bet, maybe. It comes up again. It's not Reish Pei Bet. It's somewhere Reish Sadi, Mashu Kazeh. Reish Pei Bet, Reish Sadi over there. It talks a little. There's another line about having mea brachot on Shabbat. It's in one of those two places. I can find it for you, Blina, there if you like.
He says it's okay, or he practices it himself.
I think he recommends it himself. He says it also in the context of, you know, desserts. He says the whole sugya of having desserts at the end of a meal before Birkat HaMazon is a major problem of a safik brachot, if you should be reciting a bracha now or not, because maybe it's covered in your hamotzi. Maybe it's not. So the best thing is to do is wait until after Birkat HaMazon. But after Birkat HaMazon, so now you have to say a new bracha rishona, which is an extra bracha for no reason, but it's good because you're out of a safek bracha this way, and you get me a bracha this way. So I think over there he says that you can also have a shehakol before your meal starts and have kavana that it should cover the ice cream at the end of the meal. And that way you would definitely are yotzei a bracha on ice cream. Everyone makes a big deal about ice cream. Big deal about ice cream. But it's a machloket Rav Yitzchak Yosef and Rav David Yosef about what Rav Avadia said. But truth is, on Friday night, if you had grape juice, then you don't have to say bracha on ice cream. Because if you're telling me the ice cream is a suffix, maybe it's a liquid, maybe it's not. So then, if it's a liquid, so then you're covered with your agafen also. So I'm not passing this one because I haven't reviewed this sugya in about like 7 years, but that was the maskan I had when I learned it back then. So don't go based on what I just said. But the best thing is to grab some chocolate. Okay, fine. But these are major issues of safek brachot that come up. Yes, Ariel.
Hey, Rabbi, why wouldn't somebody have like brachiyats and hadamah before like the meal on?
Well, there's the issue of a hefsek between kiddush and hamotzi. If you're, you know, people think that they can, once kiddush is over, then they start shmuzing. But you don't have time right now. You have to have Kiddush B'Makom Seudah. So you need to, you have Bizaris a little bit, Zarang Bash. But do that's the Beshur. Once you have, you want to say a bracha, okay, fine, good, say the brachas and go. But it's not the time to start shmoozing. That's number one. Number two is it's people are going to eat too much. Oh, Chanum Folon, in Shechar Chosh Mazas. You're going to go on and on and on. No, dude, wait until after Hamotzi. Just have a bite. Every Seder, every year on Pesach, people are like, in Karas, Chedi Chosh Mazas. And they have another one. I'm like, no, wait. Don't too much Karpas you're not supposed to have. Okay, whatever. You're not supposed to have. And that's number two. And number three is you might be adding on extra berachot for no reason. So we say, in order to be yotzei mei berachot, it's okay to do that. Not everyone's such a fan of that practice. If you look in the Minhagim Svarim, you'll find the conversations about this topic. Like in Magen Avot and other places, they talk about this minhag. In Ben Ish Chaim, I'd also talk about it. I don't remember anymore. But that's more or less the thought for tonight. When it comes to a Zeman of three people, ideally number three should eat bread for Sfaradim, Ashkenazim not necessarily. If not bread, Paralalik Yisanin is also fine. If not that, oatmeal is farina, is number two. Number three, anything. And I really should encourage him to have a kazayit of bread. Drinks and other things could also change your level of chiyuv. And that's it for this. Be'ezrat Hashem, next time we'll talk about including women and children. In Zimon, it's a great topic. As your families expand, Be'ezrat Hashem, and the Kohanims are all boys. Kashizad is, I don't know. Matt's son is 3 years old. 4 years old. So, Be'ezrat Hashem, very soon you'll be able to count him for a Zimon. Be'ezrat Hashem. Your brother only has daughters, so when you have your brother over for Shabbat. How old is his son?
1 year old.
Okay, so there will be years, but you'll have your brother over for a meal. Or you'll have your parents over for a meal, and you'll be able to make a zimun with your son. So we'll talk about how to do that. Be'ezrat Hashem. My wife is 1 of 10, so there's 6 girls and four boys, and the girls are mostly older. So they used to make a lady zimun all the time when everyone was living at home. Be'ezrat Hashem, we'll talk about it and how to do it, when to do it, whether it's okay or not. Be'ezrat Hashem, it's a great topic to talk about, and it's actually also the first chavura I ever gave in Shaar Rachamim like 5 years ago. So it'll be a great one, Be'ezrat Hashem. Okay, thank you.
I think I remember that, Rob.
You were there?
And you gave that one.
Wow. I gave it also 2 years ago, I think. I don't know anymore. It's a good topic. Kid Zimun is a great topic, Be'ezrat Hashem. So looking forward. Thank you guys for joining. It's nice to have everybody, and especially William. It's a nice surprise. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I'm sorry I've been missing that. Since you shared it in the group chat, I really wanted to join, but hopefully, today was the last day of my exam, so I'll be joining from now on.
Oh, week. Wonderful. Baruch Hashem. And you had a good reason to not be here. Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem. William just got married a couple months ago, right? Baruch Hashem. Okay. Baruch Hashem. All right.
Okay, I'll see you next week then.
See you next week. Thank you, William.
Have a good night.
Have a good night, guys. Baruch Hashem. Thank you. All right.
Kol Tov.
Okay.